Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif, who is a professional private counselor with Integrity Psychological and Counseling Associates and an adjunct professor with the Social Work Department at USI. Radio Rehab is only a support to the real work of recovery and does not offer definitive answers or attempt to counsel anyone in their own personal behavior. Although the program does not endorse any program of recovery, it holds the belief that most recovery works are an effort of true conviction and concern of the benefit of the suffering and can be trusted to offer real hope and better choices. Radio Rehab is sponsored by Brentwood Meadows. Where there's hope, there's help. And now, Radio Rehab.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab, everybody. It's exciting to be here every week and talk to you about things that we know are impacting the people we love and our community, especially around addictive disorders and mental emotional health issues. So we are on Radio Rehab. Every week we try to bring speakers to you to share their stories because everybody has a story and how they have come through their challenges, especially if it's related to a drug or alcohol issue, depression, etc., and just how it's affected their lives, how they've gotten better, and the things that have worked for them in their lives to strengthen all of us in our community. And I have to tell you, I'm so excited about our guest today because I have known this, I would say, man now, a very gentleman, since he was a teenager. He was involved in the first Youth Leadership Evansville program in Evansville in the early 90s, and he was just always excited about being part of something good, always. His mother, Ellen, helped get the CHAD program started here in town, so she and her husband, Kim, have always been activists and ready to roll up their sleeves and help make the community a better place. They knew Lane had attention deficit disorder, and they tried to turn that into a positive thing to help other parents. So he comes from a long line of doers, and he is a doer, and this is the first I've seen him in like 15 years, so I am so excited to hear his story. I was telling some friends of mine this morning about Lane, and I showed pictures of him to Kai and Tim, and they were like, wow, that takes addiction to get that kind of body and that kind of care about who you are physically. So he's going to talk to us about how he got the body he's got, which is absolutely hot. I have to tell you all, I wish you could see it, but you can't. I mean, this guy is a Wrights High School grad. He went on and got his bachelor's degree in biochemistry and then a PhD in nutritional sciences. Now he's a 31-year-old professional drug-free powerlifter and a professional drug-free bodybuilder. And he's going to talk to us about that. I like that he has a drug-free body, since that's what I'm all about for sure. But he will talk about how he, what has shaped him and how he became the person that he is. Lane, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're visiting from Tampa. You're busy with your family. But for you to come down and share your story, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate being on and find it, very cool that anybody's interested in my story. I guess the question I get asked most frequently, I've done quite a few interviews, typically in the bodybuilding community and the powerlifting community. I'll do a lot of radio interviews and whatnot, and the biggest question is, well, how did you get into doing what you're doing? Because, you know, obviously, bodybuilder, powerlifter, there's plenty of those out there, but also, education-wise, there's not a lot who have, you know, gone to, you know, a graduate level of education, so people are kind of interested in how those two melded together, mm-hmm. academics and athletics. And when I was young, and anybody who may be listening who went to school with me probably knows, I got picked on quite a bit more than, you know, everybody gets picked on in high school, but I was a little goofy and a little nerdy and just different overall. And it got pretty relentless at times, and probably part of it is I didn't handle it as well as some people did. Some people could shrug that sort of stuff off, and I just didn't do it very well. But I just kind of felt like for a long time I had people telling me, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. I wasn't real gifted at athletics. I got good grades, but it was I wouldn't say a struggle, but I had to work at it. I knew a lot of my friends who were in advanced classes didn't really have to study, and they would just come in and take the tests and do well, whereas I was studying for hours a night. But, you know, growing up, part of that was probably the ADD. You know, I got diagnosed with that, I think when I was in first grade. And I remember, you know, Mom was kind of, whenever something would come up with us kids, she would dive headfirst into it, trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, how to fix it, what she could do. And, of course, you know, became the head of CHAD in Southern Indiana. And my grandfather, Robert Eisman, was actually very big into...
Southwest.
Yeah, the Southwest Mental Health Center.
Yeah.
He helped start that up. So, you know, they kind of have a history of trying to help out with children's health.
You come into the health profession genetically wired anyway.
I guess I have, yeah. So anyway, I when I was younger, I was very into sharks. And again, I was a weird kid and I wanted to be a shark biologist. And so I was looking at going to school. I was very into sciences and I was looking at going to schools for college down in Florida. And I wanted to go to Eckerd College, which is in St. Petersburg. And around that time, I had gotten into weightlifting. Now, I first kind of dabbled with it when I was like 15 years old. And it was just kind of a way of, well, I want to get bigger so people don't pick on me so much and maybe I'll get some attention from girls, you know?
whatever the motive is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't the most noble of motives, you know? It was kind of that insecure, want to get bigger so people don't pick on me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I did a little bit, and then around 18, I would say, I got pretty serious with it because I would get a girlfriend, stop lifting, she would dump me, I would get lifting again, and that cycle kind of repeated a few times. And finally, I played baseball in high school, and I was okay at it, but I remember one of the best compliments I ever got was from a coach who said, you know, you probably have the least talent of anybody on this team, but you're the first person I would pick just because your attitude and you're so coachable and I know you're going to work harder than anybody else. And that was good for me to see, okay, I don't have a lot of talent, but if I work really hard, I can still get as far as a lot of other people are getting. But I realized that baseball is going to be coming to an end. And I loved having a competitive outlet. And so getting into weightlifting, kind of seeing, oh, there's bodybuilding, you know, this is kind of the next step of weightlifting. And I started getting really into bodybuilding my senior year in high school.
So there's a difference between bodybuilding and weight?
Yeah, so weightlifting, like, so there's actually kind of four iron sports that I would categorize. There's bodybuilding, there's powerlifting, which is squat, bench press, and deadlift. There's weightlifting, which is what you see on the Olympics, which is clean and jerk and power snatch, and then there's strongman, so which is you see on ESPN sometimes. So bodybuilding is more of like the physical performance, you know, showing the physique, that sort of thing. The other three sports are actually performance-based in terms of what you lift. But anyway, bodybuilding was what appealed to me because I wanted to look good. I didn't really care. So I wanted to be strong, but I didn't really care as much about how strong I was. I wanted to look intimidating and big and have women be attracted to me. So I got really into that when I was in college. And about that time, I kind of started thinking, well, this is kind of my passion. Maybe I should put my degree more into that. So I changed to a biochemistry degree because I wanted to learn more about the body. And I kind of got, you know, really into that, worked very hard for that. And about junior year, I realized, man, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I wanted to go on and do a graduate degree. And didn't really know if I wanted to do a master's or PhD. But I wanted to do something to do with protein metabolism because that was what I really thought was interesting. And so I got in touch with a guy named Donald Lehman at University of Illinois, who I didn't realize at the time, but was one of the world's foremost renowned experts in protein metabolism. Mm. And I asked if he was looking for graduate students, and he said yes. And we started talking. I thought it'd be a good fit. I went and did my PhD there for 6 years, and it was a really overwhelming experience in terms of it's the only thing in my life I've ever wanted to quit. I mean, a lot of people, when they do a bodybuilding show, they'll tell you it's the hardest thing they've ever done mentally, physically. It's just, you have to restrict yourself. You know, you can't, you have to, you know, eat a certain way all the time. It's very, people don't realize, like, it's one thing to eat good, and then it's another thing to take it to another level and try to get down to, I mean, you'll feel like a zombie some days. You're so exhausted. Your emotions start playing with you because you don't think you're going to be ready. Well, my PhD was definitely harder than that. And it was the only thing in my life I've ever vocally said, I want to quit. I like to think of myself as a pretty strong-willed person, and I mean, those words came out of my mouth. I said, I want to quit. And fortunately, I have a very strong support system. My wife basically said, well, that's tough because you're not quitting. She said, because at that point, I started up my coaching business, and I was actually already making pretty much a full-time living off that. And so the motivation for me to do my PhD for monetary reasons was kind of waning. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, you could quit, and you could make a full-time living, but I know you, and you would be miserable knowing that you quit something that you should have finished. And that was kind of the impetus to really drive me home, that I kind of said, okay, well, I may not ever get it, but I'm going to go in every day and do everything I've got to do in order to get to that next level. So I guess in everything I've ever done, if I've had a passion for it, it's kind of been, let me see how far I can push it. It's been more about pushing myself and trying to challenge myself, because I heard something one time I can't remember who the quote was, but I really thought it was very true. And they said long-term happiness is more about the constant pursuit and achievement of goals than anything else. It's not about, you know, because people think, you know, people think, and that's one of the big things is the journey. The journey is very important. I think a lot of people, when they get into having a goal, they get so focused on the end part. And if it's a long-term goal, like I want to do a bodybuilding show, or I want to, you know, get my degree, or I want to do, or if it's an addiction, I want to get clean. It's such a long and a hard road that people get discouraged when they hit stumbling blocks, because you're not going to have any goal in this life that you're not going to have setbacks, and you're not going to have problems. And one of the things was just learning to understand, for me, understanding with the PhD and having trouble with it, was just understanding that I have to focus on the end goal, but if I only look at that and where I am in relation to that, I'm going to be miserable because I'll feel like I'll never get there. So it's like, Dave Ramsey is a financial guy I like to listen to on the radio, and one of the quotes I like from him is, he says, the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And that's very true, and that's kind of the approach I took. I said, well, I don't have the ideal physique I have right now, and I don't have my PhD right now, but what I'm going to do is every day I'm going to have a list of things that I need to do now, today, to get me a little bit closer to that goal. And I'm going to do that every single day. And eventually, I assume if I put hundreds and thousands of days together like that, I will reach my goal.
That's an incredible mindset. And I've talked to you before when we talked on the phone with your mom. It's almost like you do have to get addicted.
Yeah.
It's a positive addiction, though, but you're driven by a compulsion every day to get up, go to school, work on what you got to work on. And it almost is an addictive mindset, but it's a positive addiction.
Right. And I have that. I feel like my addiction in life, it wouldn't be bodybuilding, it wouldn't be academics, it would be the constant pursuit of progression. I want to get better in a lot of different aspects of life. I told one person one time, because they were talking about how much I had done for the sport of natural bodybuilding, and I don't like to take a lot of credit for that, but some people will say that I did more for natural bodybuilding the last 10 years than other people to help bring it visibility, because it was very, very low visibility. And I don't like to think about it that way. I think it was a combination of a lot of effort from a lot of people. But what I'll say is that, you know, it's just that progression and just wanting to do something over and over and over and over and having that passion. And I think that kind of, that spills over into other people.
Sure.
You know, when you're very passionate about things, it has a spillover effect, and you affect the people around you positively. Mm-hmm. And now, with that said, with an addiction, I will say I've seen people addicted to positive things like fitness, academics, but haven't had a negative effect on their life, because there always has to be balance. Because I've seen people who will say, in this, for this example, the sake of the fact that they're doing a show, they'll miss family gatherings, or they'll, I even heard of somebody who missed a funeral one time of a close family relative. And to me, that's not excusable. So you have to have, you know, you can have a positive addiction, but it has to exist within a framework of what is healthy.
Yeah.
And that means not negatively disrupting your family consistently, not negatively, because that can be just as bad as an unhealthy addiction, because you're don't
That's
the reason
true.
You know, if addictions just existed in a bubble where they didn't affect other people, it probably wouldn't be as bad, right? You know, you just, you know, because we like
I'm
to
only
think,
hurting myself is
right
the famous
we all, yeah,
last
we only,
words,
we, exactly we only think about that, and unfortunately mm-hmm. we affect other people. And if you have a quote-unquote healthy addiction,
mm-hmm.
if you're still negatively affecting your family with that,
that's right.
Then how's it any better in a way? So I have come across people who, you know, a lot of people in the fitness industry get into eating disorders. They get into exercise disorders.
I was just thinking that when you said that.
You know,
that,
as a coach, I've worked with a lot of them. And I've tried to evolve my coaching service into, I feel like in today's society, with all the information we have available, it's not... With finances, with addiction, with fitness, we know what to do.
Yeah.
Why are people obese? Why are they in debt? Why are they addicted? We know what to do. You know, don't get into drugs. Don't drink too much. Don't get too much debt. Don't eat too much. Exercise more. But we don't do it. Is it because we don't have the information? Not really. It's because we don't have the mentality. We don't have the goal-setting mindset, and we don't have... the motivation to do it.
Absolutely. Well, what I see is exactly what you're talking about, but it's that instant gratification, especially with young people. It's putting, you're saying have a plan, put it off, work toward it, but they want it now and yesterday. I want to lose 5 pounds by prom, so I'm going to binge and purge and exercise
mm-hmm.
several hours a day.
It's
just
very
get it
common.
Now. Yeah.
Very common, and instant gratification you talked
yeah.
about. That's why it's important to have long-term goals as well as short-term goals.
Sure.
You got to have that carrot in front of your face. Your long-term goal may be, if you're a powerlifter, well, I want to squat 500 pounds or something like that. But if you're squatting 300 pounds right now, that may be a couple years off. So you need to have little goals. Okay, mm-hmm. well, I want to squat 315 within 5 weeks. You know, and you mm-hmm. do that, and I want to increase my volume of my training by this much in the next 6 weeks. And you do it like that. And then that long-term goal gets broken up into sections. And even driving here, we drove here from Tampa, I broke it up into sections. Okay, I want to get to, we'll drive to,
Atlanta.
You know, Tallahassee or
yeah.
something, and then we'll switch, and then we'll drive here. And you break it up, and it makes it more manageable.
Absolutely. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have to give our sponsors a minute. We're talking to Lane Norton just about who he is, what he believes. It's an incredible gift to have him here and get his insights. We'll be right back.
Did you know drug and or alcohol problems are one of the major reasons why people lose their jobs, their health, and even their families? Don't let this happen to you. There is help, real help. Brentwood Meadows is here. At Brentwood Meadows, we provide compassionate, professional, effective treatment. Our goal is to help get you back feeling healthy and happy once again. Call us today at 812-858-7200 for a free evaluation. This may be one of the most important calls you'll ever make.
If you are suffering from depression or anxiety, please listen to this important message. You are not alone, and there is help, real help. Brentwood Meadows is here. Brentwood Meadows is a new state-of-the-art facility located in a private setting in Newburg, Indiana. At Brentwood Meadows, we understand that feelings of anxiety, loss of control, loneliness, fear, and confusion affect your life and the lives of those around you. Take control. Call Brentwood Meadows for a free, no-obligation evaluation. Call 812-858-7200.
Are you getting the news that's really important to you about the black community? If you're missing the news that is written for and about blacks, then you should be reading the only newspaper that is fully committed. The Black Reading. You subscribe to the Our Time special featuring articles on African Americans. It's easy to have this important news delivered to your door. Just call our circulation department at 812-426-7993 and say, please start my personal subscription to the Our Times newspaper today. We will start your subscription and bill you a modest annual rate of $20. If you're not completely satisfied, we will cancel your subscription and you won't owe us anything. Our Times newspaper, getting the news that's really important to you about the Black community.
Act now. Buy now. Get our lowest prices of the year right now at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Our best sellers start at only $288. Sofas and dining rooms start at an incredible $288. Select queen beds, just $388. Plus, save up to $600 when you buy a TempurCloud mattress with a Tempur-Ergo adjustable base. Act now. Buy now. Our best sellers start at only $288 at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
KC Beauty Mart is celebrating their grand opening on Van Avenue. Casey's has thousands of hair products for your every need. Over 400 wigs in both human and synthetic hair, and more than 200 styles of track hair. You'll find clothing, hats, accessories, and much more. Casey Beauty Mart is your one-stop shop, and we're located on Van Avenue next to the Family Dollar near Bilo. Open daily from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., and on Sundays from 12 p.m. until 6 p.m. So visit us today at KC Beauty Mart.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander. Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found on your station that's here for the community. 1400 AM WEOA.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, a dynamic program for those who have been touched by alcohol and or substance abuse. Our lines are always open, so pick up the phone right now and call into the program at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab is brought to you by Brentwood Meadows. Brentwood Meadows, there's hope, there's help. And now, here's Lisa.
We're back talking to Lane Norton about himself and his belief systems and how he stays healthy. And he's talked a lot about balance. And I wonder now, Lane, too, if you would talk a little about how you've seen addiction affect your culture, your age group, your family, your community with substance abuse. And I don't think it even matters what the chemical is. Once you're overly drunk or overly stoned or overly into opiates or speed. You talked about how addiction, even positive addiction, affects your family. How's the other addictions affected you, and how did you avoid going that route?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've dealt with addiction in my family, and went from denial on my part of thinking that person was addicted to anger, to sadness, to frustration, to all the emotions anybody runs through, the gamut of emotions. And, wondering if I could have done something more. Obviously I'm only an N of one, but, my experience would probably be pretty typical for anybody who's dealt with it, who's been a family member. Mm-hmm. I think what you realize is that you can provide a framework for somebody, a support system for somebody, but in the end, it has to be that person that wants to change. And, that's the same thing in fitness. Somebody says, we all know people say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to do that. I want to do this. But then we don't do it, you know? And it's really, people ask me all the time, well, how do you stay so motivated? How do you stay so dedicated? And for me, it's really a simple equation. I think about what I want out of life, what I want to do, whether it's bodybuilding, whether it's academics, whether it's this or that. And I think, okay, well, if we're talking about bodybuilding, if I'm getting ready for a show, just for example, so how do you resist, like if you're out at a party or something, people are eating pizza or something, how do you resist eating that? I say, well, I just think about what I want to do on stage and what I want to look like and think about, is that more important to me than that one slice of pizza or that, And if I just do it like that, it's just I'm able to prevent myself from, going into that.
So you don't allow, you're always on guard about your own impulsivity, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I think some people think that, I think some people have this view, and this I think is just people who are successful in general. People have this view that, like, if they have somebody has a great body, that they're never tempted. Absolutely not.
Right.
In fact, I know a lot of people, and we were talking about this off the air, that have eating disorders in the fitness industry. People would be shocked at the amount of people who have eating disorders in the fitness industry, and it's really quite sad, actually. Mm-hmm. Whether it's binge and purge or anorexia or,
diuretics
bulimia
or whatever,
anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've always, you know, why didn't I get into that sort of thing? Because certainly, you know, I got really into fitness, and you know, I do have a somewhat addictive mindset in a way. Addicted to progress, I guess is how you would say
That's
it.
Great.
But you know, how did that not turn into drugs or alcohol? I guess probably I'd have to say I'm pretty hard-headed, and I'm a pretty independent person. And I hung out with people who did drugs, and you know, I wouldn't say I actively went to hang out with them, but I had a basically about my life in graduate school and preparing for shows, and one of the people they were asking me, how do you stay natural in a sport that's dominated by drug users?
It is.
And, oh yes.
Steroid, you mean?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, natural bodybuilding is a small subsection of bodybuilding, which is mostly overrun with people who are using performance enhancing drugs, and. I said, you know, I don't judge people who want to do that. I'm a person who believes in personal freedom and personal responsibility. If you want, you can do whatever you want if it's not hurting somebody else, as long as it's not hurting somebody else. And I'm not having a problem with you. So if you want to use steroids, that's your business. But I've always felt like I've got to make choices for myself, and I've got to make decisions for myself, because if you let other people influence what you're doing, you don't have anything left to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like and I always thought about that. Well, if I just do something because other people are doing it, then I'm just a freaking puppet. Like, that just seems weak to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I got lucky in terms of the hard-headed gene. Probably got that from my mother and grandfather, you know?
Well, I'm thinking while you're saying that, what about peer pressure, which is a natural phenomenon? It sounds like you kind of created your own peer group and your own that mimicked your belief system.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not going to say I never drank alcohol or anything. When I was in college, I'd go out. And,
sure.
But it was on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
If I decided, okay, we just played a rugby game, I want to go out and party with the guys, I'd go out and party with the guys. But I never was somebody who had to get dragged home or, you know.
Well, it sounds like you had a take-it-or-leave-it attitude.
Right, exactly.
If it was there, great. If it's not, so what?
And what I found was people, well, how do you hang out with your friends if you do that? Well, I found that my people who were actually my friends didn't care, and they actually respected
exactly.
me more for it.
Right.
You know? And even if I had friends give me grief over it, you know, eventually they would come around to admit, you know, I really respect you for how you view things and how you know, you're strong-willed like that. And so that kind of getting that feedback empowered me to, you know, push further on that. And so, you know, I feel like sometimes people, whether it's trying to fit in or giving in to peer pressure or whatever, I mean, like, in a way, maybe I'm a little bit harsh, but, you know, get some guts, you know, grow some cojones, you know, be your own person. I mean, do you really want to be if you've got to, you know, do something that everybody else is doing just so people will like you, well, those people don't like you. They're just using you, or they're just using you as a buddy to hang out with. I mean, I'm blessed in that I have a lot of the people I hang around, and I have a lot of people I would consider close friends who I would feel comfortable, you know, if something happened to me, taking care of my wife or something like that. Like I have
that,
you know,
kind of
more
trust.
More than I can count on one hand, you know, which I think is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I've been very blessed with that. And what I found is that it's the same kind of mindset that congregates around me. You know, most of the people I hang around are they just. They're very independent. They're very strong-willed.
Like-minded.
You know. Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
like you.
And, you know, I think that's what I would say to a lot of people, too, is, you know, the person we dealt with in our family who had addiction problems was a lot of people they hung around with just, I want to say a bad crowd, but it was bad for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily bad people, but good people making bad choices, you know. And it just encouraged bad choices for them as well. And, you know,
well,
so
to get into recovery, you have to get around the winners. You have to get around people that are also in recovery.
You know, I read a book called The Millionaire Next Door, and I was telling you about it. And obviously, I don't want to equate financial success with whether you're a good person or not, or whether you're successful. But just in this example, research shows that you will be, whatever the median income of your friends is, you will be within about 20% of that.
Wow.
And it's not that, and a lot of people will look at that as from a kind of elitist standpoint and say, well, rich people don't hang out with poor people and that sort of thing. No, I kind of look at it as, you know, the professor who, you know, I have a friend, Dr. Jacob Wilson at the University of Tampa, and you want to talk about a guy that's motivated. I mean, this guy lives and breathes research. He loves it.
Mm.
He loves his job. He loves getting in there with those his graduate students, his kids, and, you know, he, it's not even a job for him. He just has fun. He loves it. A guy like that can't relate to somebody who hates their job, who comes home and plays Xbox for 8 hours right. and smokes dope.
Right.
Like, he's not going to be able to relate
Nothing
to that
in
person.
Common.
So even if he maybe likes that person, if they're both nice people, mm-hmm. they're not going to hang out because they're not going to get along because what are they going to talk about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to have that mm-hmm. that mindset of, you know, it's going to sound kind of mean maybe, but... You know, if a person is, I always look at friends and are they enhancing my life or detracting from my
sure,
life?
Sure.
And if they're detracting from my life, I'm not going to be around them. They're not friends and I'm not going to be around them. And I'm going to, you know, I want to be with people who pull me up,
right.
not who drag me down.
Right, right.
And that may sound elitist and it may sound mean, but that's how I've always kind of viewed it. And I always felt like your friends should make you a better person. Not the opposite way.
Yeah. Well, rehab with addictive disorders, the 12-step programs, that's exactly what they say. You stick with the winners. If you want what they have, you do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's...
If you want to get clean and sober, you better be hanging out with clean and sober people. And if you want to get better in your life, you better surround yourself with people.
Yeah, exactly. Like we talked about before, I think a lot of people... You know, the view in now today's society, I think we get kind of bombarded with stuff, you know, like Jersey Shore and Real Housewives and all this stuff. And we kind of have this view that anybody with money or that's successful just kind of lucked into it. And they mm-hmm. no, the reality is most people who have had success in their life worked really, 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 really hard for it. And they just, you know, I tell my clients and the people I work with, and when I do motivational speaking, I tell people success is a battle of attrition in anything, whether it's getting over addiction, whether it's bodybuilding, whether it's academics, it's a battle of attrition because there's a certain amount of people who are going to quit. There's a certain amount of people who are going to quit when it gets tough, when it gets hard, when you feel like you can't go any further. And the people that don't quit, even if you feel like you're not making progress, if you just keep sloshing through the mud, mm-hmm. if you keep putting one foot in front of another, it's a heck of a lot better than trying to quit and go home. Because I always tell people, failure is final. Okay, failure is only failure when you quit, when you give
right.
up. Anything else is nothing but a setback. That's it.
Yeah.
And if you have that attitude, nothing will feel overwhelming to you. You know, I think we've all had times in our life when we feel like, I can't get through this. I can't, you know,
sure.
it's too much. It's too much. It's overwhelming. And again, if you just look at it, it's like, what's the worst case scenario that's going to happen? I did this with my I had to sit down and do this with my PhD when I was having anxiety about defending my thesis and all this stuff. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, worst thing that can happen is they flunk me for my thesis the first time. Well, I'll come back and try again. Okay, and maybe I don't ever get it. Well, at least I try.
Mm-hmm.
And my Uncle Bill, who was one of my big influences, well, he's a great uncle of mine. He's passed away now. He said he started his own business, a label business. And one of his sayings was, shoot for your dreams, shoot for the stars. You may not reach them, but you'll pick up a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be a lot better off than you would have if you didn't try at all. I think we have such an intense fear of failure in this society, and we're almost like a protectionist. We have like a shell, a hard shell, and we're protectionists in that at this point, we would almost rather do something safe, be safe in what we know, what we're used to, than really go after what we really want and maybe fail. And I always thought that was a silly mindset in terms of myself because I thought, well... But I can see it because I never, when I was younger, I would never want to talk to girls. I was always, but what if she turns me down?
Oh.
What if she won't talk to me? You know, that sort of thing. My dad was always like, man, what's the worst that can happen? She says, no, well,
right.
you weren't going out with her beforehand, you know? And, but I was so afraid of that failure.
Rejection. Yeah.
Rejection. Yeah. Mm. And what I finally determined was my dad was exactly right, you know, and that's what I've done. I mean, I've failed in some projects in my life, but overwhelmingly I've been successful. And I think it's because that hard-headedness and just keep going and keep going and keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. Mm. And as far as women go, I was just lucky that my wife found me really attractive and pursued me, because I was even
you
with all dad's
gun shy by
yeah,
then,
even
huh?
all with all dad's help, I just never was very good with with the dating game, So thankfully, my wife.
So no matter how good you look, you never lose that sense of I've been rejected.
That's actually very true. A lot of people think, if I had that guy's physique, No. You don't understand. Whatever underlying insecurities you have, if you don't fix those at the basal level, having a great physique does nothing for that. It doesn't fix that.
The trimmings look good, the insides.
You would not believe the number of people who are cover models in the physique world who would tell you that, oh, my God, I'm fat. Oh, my God, I look like crap. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not that great. And it's like, man, what are you talking about? Like, you have a phenomenal
physique.
You've
worked 100 hours a week to have this physique.
I'm really happy in that I've gotten to the point where I don't look at my – I tell people, if your only judgment of yourself is what you see in the mirror, you're going to be an unhappy person no matter what. And I have to tell this to a lot of clients, because they have this – again, they get too focused on the end goal, and they don't enjoy the journey.
Like, externals, you mean?
Yeah, if I just had that physique, I'd be satisfied. And I always equate it to, if you're going to go on Mount Everest, do you want to fly to the top, or do you want to climb it? What do you think is more rewarding? You know what I mean? Sure, you can go to the top and the view is great and everything, but you're going to feel a little empty inside. You know what I mean? Because now if you climb it and you achieve that, you'll know deep down, and when you're doing it, you will, Obviously, it's a dangerous undertaking, but I'm using it as a metaphor, you will be more rewarded for your hard work. If we acquire success quickly, we disregard it.
Sure.
And there's an example of that you can see with lottery winners or people who acquire wealth quickly. Professional athletes. 80% of lottery winners and professional athletes are broke or bankrupt within 5 to 10 years after winning, because they didn't climb the mountain. They got flown to the top. And I've actually had people say, oh, I'd love to win the lottery. I actually don't play the lottery because I wouldn't want to win, to be honest with you. I would rather get the old-fashioned way and feel better about it having gone through the journey.
That's incredible. What maturity. This guy, I wish you all could see him, the audience, but wow, what maturity, Lane. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. I am learning a lot from this young person today, and we'll be right back to close it up.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Good. Yeah,
Wait, they haven't.
Did you know drug and or alcohol problems are one of the major reasons why people lose their jobs, their health, and even their families? Don't let this happen to you. There is help. Real help. Brentwood Meadows is here. At Brentwood Meadows, we provide compassionate, professional, effective treatment. Our goal is to help get you back feeling healthy and happy once again. Call us today at 812-858-7200 for a free evaluation. This may be one of the most important calls you'll ever make.
If you are suffering from depression or anxiety, please listen to this important message. You are not alone, and there is help, real help. Brentwood Meadows is here. Brentwood Meadows is a new state-of-the-art facility located in a private setting in Newburgh, Indiana. At Brentwood Meadows, we understand that feelings of anxiety, loss of control, loneliness, fear, and confusion affect your life and the lives of those around you. Take control. Call Brentwood Meadows for a free, no-obligation evaluation. Call 812-858-7200.
Act now. Buy now. Get our lowest prices of the year right now at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Our best sellers start at only $288. Sofas and dining rooms start at an incredible $288. Select queen beds just $388. Plus, save up to $600 when you buy a TempurCloud mattress with a Tempur-Ergo adjustable base. Act now. Buy now. Our best sellers start at only $288 at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Evansville, Indiana. Saturday, November 17th. I'm going to need you right there, as I present Bob Diggle's free Thanksgiving Comedy Jam with one of the hottest comedians on tour today. You seen him on BET's Comic View and P. Diddy's Bad Boy of Comedy, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Marcus Combs.
I'm over at girl house, and little boy just kept me like, hey, you ain't my daddy. And his brother said, yeah, you ain't his daddy. And his daddy ain't my daddy.
And joining him on stage, the Midwest Comedy Champion of the Year, Crazy Black. So come get your laugh on Saturday, November 17th at the Oldest Stone American Legion. Doors open at 8 p.m. Show starts at 9. Advance tickets are $15 and $20 at the door. Advance ticket locations, Mama's Pizza and Tootie's Cuts in Henderson, Kentucky, and Brown's Elite Hair Salon, Evansville, Indiana. So come get your Thanksgiving laugh on at Bob Dickens' pre-Thanksgiving comedy jam with your boy Marcus Combs.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, a dynamic program for those who have been touched by alcohol and or substance abuse. Our lines are always open, so pick up the phone right now and call into the program at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab is brought to you by Brentwood Meadows. Brentwood Meadows, there's hope, there's help. And now, here's Lisa.
We are back to finish up talking to Lane Norton, who's in town from Tampa, Florida, who does a lot of work at helping people get healthy, which is what recovery from addictive disorders is all about. And we were talking during the break about how sometimes one of the most overlooked pieces in AA, which I am a proud member of, sometimes we don't talk enough about how to take care of our physical recovery, our bodies. So it's been nice to see Lane and hear what he does to take care of his physical, and he coaches people to take care of their physical recovery and their bodies. And I, in closing, Lane, kind of tell us where now you have, your journey has taken you, and a little about the Outwork program and how you would recommend we can take better care of our bodies.
Well, Outwork is kind of just a word we came up with. It actually started from the video series I was talking about. My goals when I come into the gym, because I've kind of known in bodybuilding as a guy who maybe doesn't have the best genetics or is not as gifted as other people, but I'll work hard. And what I said was in my video series, I said, you know, I may or may not win every show, but my goal when I come in the gym every day is to make sure if somebody beats me, it won't be because they outwork me. And a friend of mine took that and just shortened it to outwork. And that really stuck with people, and it resonated with people. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, the idea is don't make excuses for yourself. Don't give yourself a way out. Anybody can give themselves a way out. If you're talking about addiction, maybe I don't come from as high an income family, I don't have the resources, or my family is also addicts, or this sort of thing. And the point is, look, if we're going to score a touchdown, if we're going to get to the goal line, some people maybe get to start in the 50, and some people maybe have to start on the 1 yard line. All right, you might have to go further, you might have to work harder, but you can still get to that goal. You can still get to the goal line. You can still score the touchdown. You can still win. And so, don't make that excuse for yourself. If you give yourself a way out, if you give yourself, everybody's got excuses, and guess what? At the end of the day, nobody's going to care. Mm-hmm. Nobody really is going to care what your excuses are, because at the end, it's all about results. Are you able to get clean? Are you able to accomplish the goals you set for yourself? Are you able to make it? And so what I tell people is, look, whatever obstacles you have, use that to empower yourself. Say, okay, I got this obstacle in front of me. I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to smash it. I'm going to dominate this obstacle. I'm going to overcome this obstacle. And it's going to make me a stronger person at the end. I lamented for so many years about being tortured in school from bullies and all that sort of thing. And what I realize now is that made me a stronger person. And I realize everybody's different. Everybody, doesn't recover as well from that sort of thing. But for me, it was good. It was a good experience in the end, even though it was hard while I was doing it. It made me a stronger person. It made me a harder person.
Well, you definitely had to develop some coping skills that were
absolutely
just your own.
Absolutely. And, part of that was working out, and part of that was applying myself. And, the worst part was, the hardest part was getting the confidence. And I credit my wife a lot with that too. Is she
Isabel.
Really? Yeah, Isabel. When she came into my life, she made me a much better person because I was more confident. Because I mean, I'm going to brag, but my wife is drop dead gorgeous, and I couldn't believe that anybody that good looking would be interested in me.
Aww.
But more than that, she really helped me out a lot. But I had to meet her at the right time in my life, because before, I would have been too insecure for a woman like that.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for 4.5 years.
That's a long time.
Been together for since April of 2004, so 8.5 years.
That's incredible. And she supports you and who you are and what you
do.
It's so important.
We're very much a team.
A team.
And like I that is, you know, super important. And a lot of people, actually, I got a debate on Facebook one time with a friend of mine because we were discussing, you know, what's happened and some of the goals I set for myself. And they said, well, you know, you've also been really lucky in that you met Isabel and you had all these things fall right for you. And I said, yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, but everybody's going to have little bits of luck here and there.
Sure.
Some people have less luck than others, but luck is a lot of knowing when to take an opportunity too. When I met my wife, I was already accepted to graduate school in Illinois. I was living in Florida, and I was about to leave for Illinois. I only had 4 weeks. And Isabel was still doing her bachelor's at USF in Tampa. And it would have been very easy for me to say, well, this isn't going to work.
Right.
And but I knew we had something special, and we made it work for a year long distance. And then she moved up with me. And I don't think most people would have had the guts to do that, to, you know, try that and see. And so even then, I would say, yes, you know, I had the opportunity. I was lucky in the opportunity, but we had to take the opportunity and run with it. And that's just the same with anything in life. I mean, I found that a lot of the principles I've had with weightlifting that have made me successful there have applied across the board in life. And again, that's where that outwork principle comes into, is it's like, I tell people this, and I have quite a following on Twitter. Actually, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at BioLayne, BioLayne. And, you know, BioLayne at BioLayne. And I tell people, if you just think the outwork mentality is what we're talking about just for lifting, you're missing the point. You know, the point is take that and apply it to other areas of your life and make yourself a better person. And I had a kid email me who was in high school, who was 17 years old, who was, he said, I was getting C's and D's, and I took your advice, and now I'm getting straight A's.
Mm.
And I thought that was the coolest thing
so
ever.
So rewarding, yeah.
One of my good friends, Jeremy Lineke, is doing his PhD at University of Oklahoma right now. And he told me, he was following me when he was younger, when he was in high school. And he said, your outwork mentality, the outwork mindset, changed my life. He said, it changed my life. He said, I never would have gone off and tried to do my PhD if it wasn't for that. And yesterday, he passed his comps. And he sent me a really nice text message and said, you know, thank you and Isabel so much for everything you've done. And again, like, the reason I try to harp on this so much is I don't think we live in an age where it's not about having the information. You know, we like to make excuses for, oh, I just don't know what to eat, or I just don't know what to lift. And it's like, you know what? If you work, you can do a lot of the wrong things, but if you work really hard for a really long period of time, you'll get a long way. And I imagine it's kind of the same with addiction. Even if you didn't know what to do, if you just put your foot down.
It's one day at a time.
If you just put your foot down and say, I don't care what happens. I don't care how hard it is. I'm just going to do it.
I'm not going to drink today.
Yeah, I'm not going to quit on my goals. I'm not going to quit on my goals. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to surrender.
Yeah, it's very much the same.
And just take that and be empowered by your obstacles. Don't be defeated by them.
Mm.
Use that as an empowering, okay, this obstacle is in my way, and I'm going to overcome it, and I'm going to be even better for it, and it's going to make me a better person.
God, Lane, we need to take what's in your Norton brain and send it to the FDA for approval. Get rid of Prozac and all the other stuff, and get a shot of Lane's outwork attitude in our bodies.
Well, and you know, but in everybody, you'll hear me say this, and people, oh, wow, man, that guy has it so together. And even I have my days where I feel like, man, I'm not making progress, or man, this is just...
Well, you're human.
Exactly.
But you have an outwork attitude. That's incredible. Tell us real quick again, what is the outwork, if we want to leave this show today with an outwork, Lane Norton outwork attitude, what is that?
Really strongly recommend checking out my website, which is www.biolane.com. www.biolayne.com. And I talk a lot about it on there, talk about mindset. I have a video log series now that I talk about information on nutrition and information on training, but also mindset. And one of the first, my first video log was talking about how the outwork mentality came to be. And the second video log was talking about the importance of passion. And I think a lot of us get...
Great word. I love that word.
Yeah. And you know what? I think passion has become almost uncool. Like, I think we, like, if somebody's, like, really fired up about something, like, it's like, whoa.
They're a zealot.
Yeah, that's not cool, you know?
Right.
Like, it's cooler just to be like, whatever. You know,
laid back.
Nothing phases me.
Right, no, whatever. That's the new word, actually. Whatever.
Yeah. And so, if you can't find something that you're fired up in the morning to get out of bed and go do it, I mean, you're going to live a pretty mediocre life. I mean, you found what you're passionate about, which is helping other people get over terrible addictions. And you probably have days where you're like, oh man, I don't want to go into work today. But most of the time, you're probably like, all right, I'm fired up.
Absolutely.
Because this is what I love to do.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like work.
Right, exactly.
And it's my own recovery too.
Exactly.
Like you made it on your own in your own obstacles and challenges in life. Life, which gives us a different kind of passion and compassion for what we do, I think.
Yeah, and my job enriches my life.
Yeah,
my clients, seeing them do well and seeing their journeys, I always tell somebody, thank you for letting me be part of your journey.
Yeah.
Because they go through I have probably a dozen people competing today, and seeing them walk through their journeys is like such a, regardless of how they place on stage, it's almost like a proud papa moment, you know.
Absolutely.
What I mean? Seeing them go through that.
So will you be my new coach? My
Absolutely.
Friends will be like, wow, if I can do something about what you eat, Saif.
But you know, it's really a lot of people, and just real quick in nutrition, there's so much information out there, and there's so much bad information, to be honest with you, that we fight on a daily basis. A lot of it because in the mainstream media, they don't vet their sources.
Just tell me smoothies are okay.
You know, I am a very moderate person. You know, I think most food, I tell people, look, there's no good foods or bad foods. It's more about moderation. Mm-hmm. And knowing, you know, having that, you know, knowing when the gas tank is full and when not to put in, you know, extra. Mm-hmm. You know, portion control is a huge thing, and it's difficult.
Boring.
We live in a society where more is, you know, okay.
More is better.
And we also live in a society where they want black and white answers. Okay, well, just tell me the bad foods and tell me the good foods and just let me know what to do. And in reality, you know, it's not that simple. There's always a gray area, and you know this. I mean, there's always a gray area. And so it's important. What I try to do is educate people to give them the weapons to give them the tools to be able to make the changes themselves. And so if you go on my website, you can see a lot of that. You can see the video series. And I think it'll be really helpful for people. And if you want to get a hold of me, my email is biolane@yahoo.com. biolayne@yahoo.com.
Awesome. You are available. He lives in Tampa, but he's a finger touch away on the computer.
Absolutely. I answer all my emails.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. Lane, you are unbelievably awesome.
Thank you. Too much praise, but thank you.
Well, you have awesome parents.
I do.
Incredible family, and addiction can happen to anybody, as you said, and it sounds like you have an awesome wife.
Oh, yeah.
It's
100%.
Just your gratitude. You know, they tell us in AA, if you aren't grateful, you will drink again.
Yeah.
A grateful heart's important, and you just exude gratitude.
Yep.
Since the moment I saw you in the parking lot, I thought, God, he's just so full of gratitude. And
well, if I have seen far, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. I believe Sir Isaac Newton said that.
Yes.
It's a very, very true. But pay it forward. I mean, just like my friend Jeremy yesterday, who finished up his PhD comps and told me how much I affected his life. I said, well, you don't owe me anything. Just make sure that you do it
for somebody else. Absolutely. Yes. So any last minute words of wisdom? You know, we have people listening from all over, from all different walks of life and age groups. Any word for parents or for siblings, since you have a sibling, any word on how to...
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I like to use the phrase that my friend Ryan Doris, who's also a bodybuilder and very cerebral individual, said, he's enjoy the grind. Like the daily life is a grind, and the world will beat you down. It's tough for everybody. You know, it'll beat you down, take you to your knees, grind it. Don't be discouraged. You're going to be discouraged at times, but don't let that make you want to quit. Grind it out. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just do every little thing you need to do each day. Don't get so focused on your big overarching goal of what you want to do, whether it's you want to graduate college or get off dope or whatever it is. Just say, what do I have to do today, right now, for the next 5 minutes to get me closer to my goal? And do that. And do it every day. And eventually, you will be successful.
Wow. Well, that's so much like recovery philosophy anyway. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other.
It just applies across the board. It's just good sense.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you. Will you come back when you visit Evansville again?
Sure. Love to do it again.
And if you all want to get a hold of Lane, like he said, www.biolane.com or biolane@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm. And also follow me on Twitter. And I'm kind of a smart aleck on there, but I try to be fun. I try to entertain and enlighten is what I say. Educate and entertain.
You got it. And that passion is just part of, it's in your DNA. So
definitely.
Thank you for coming on. Isabel, sorry I didn't get to meet you in person, but nice to meet you through Lane, who's obviously very in love. So
absolutely.
That's awesome. We need more of that in love in our lives, for sure. Radio Rehab, thank you for tuning in. Always a pleasure to share this hour with you and meet awesome people that can help us one piece at a time, do better a day at a time. And don't forget between now and next Saturday to do the next right thing.
Did you know drug and/or alcohol problems are one of the major reasons why people lose their jobs, their health, and even their families? Don't let this happen to you. There is help, real help. Brentwood Meadows is here. At Brentwood Meadows, we provide compassionate, professional, effective treatment. Our goal is to help get you back feeling healthy and happy once again. Call us today at 812-858-7200 for a free evaluation. This may be one of the most important calls you'll ever make.
If you are suffering from depression or anxiety, please listen to this important message. You are not alone and there is help. Real help. Brentwood Meadows.